Okay, the first piece is actually from the Haftorah of the Parsha this week. And it's not always that we say this Haftorah, it's the Haftorah for Bahar. This week it's one Parsha, Bahar, and it's pretty relatively short davening because Bahar is a short laning. You know, I told you a few weeks ago you have a long Shabbos with the double Parsha and Shabbos Mevorachim. Okay, so here's an interesting idea. We rarely do the Haftorah, but this is from Rav Soloveitchik, and it's brought in the Nefesh HaRav from Rabbi Schechter, his Talmud, Rav Schechter. And the Haftorah, it's kedai for you to look at the whole Haftorah. It's really a fascinating Haftorah. It ends with the promise that we're coming back to Eretz Yisrael. But the Haftorah is kind of strange. Yirmiyahu HaNavi is in jail. He was put into jail by people who didn't like the things he was saying, and he was just saying the truth. He was telling them all the averas that they're doing is going to cause us to lose Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, which is what was happening. The Babylonians were coming into Yerushalayim. They were conquering us, and we were about to go into Babylonian exile. So with this backdrop, you'll see the strangeness of the Haftorah. And he quotes a number of psukim. He goes through, let's go. Hine Chanamel ben Shalem, dodcha. This is an uncle of Yirmiyahu. Bo elecha lemor, hine lecha et sadi asher ba'anatot. V'yavo elai Chanamel ben dodi. God told him that Chanamel is going to come to him. And he comes to him, Kedavar Hashem, what's going on? There's going to be now a real estate transaction. Ve'eda ki dvar Hashem hu. Ve'eknet hasadeh. Yirmiyah says, I am instructing you, you have to buy this field. You have to redeem this field here in Yerushalayim. You're going to buy some real estate for our family. Ve'echtov b'sefer v'achtom. Not only are you going to buy it, it's not going to be a quick deal, we're going to do it properly. With contracts, with witnesses, va'ed edim, get witnesses, ve'ekach et sefer hamikne, et hatchum, we're going to sign on it, ve'et hagolui. Two kinds of contracts, hamik sefer hamikne and sefer hagolui. And he puts in brackets, v'rabotenu pirshu le'inyin get pashut, u'mikusher, u'mikushar, b'vava batra. This is in the Talmud. What are these two kinds of contracts? So one is called a get pashut. That's a regular contract, an open-faced contract that we all use, right? But a get mekushar is a folded document. A get, by the way, is a term that's used for a contract. But a get mekushar has its origins in the divorce get, divorce document, that when a get was given by a kohen to his wife, so the rabbis used a get mekushar, a folded get. What did they do? They would fold it, and then they would sew it. Then they'd fold it again, and then they'd sew it. It was a long process. Why? Because a kohen, to give him time to think about what he's doing. Because under normal circumstances, a person can be machzir grushato. Persons who get divorced can remarry. But a kohen who divorces cannot remarry. Now, I want you to know I've had the schut in my lifetime, in my career, to do two weddings of people who were divorced and came back together, and Baruch Hashem are very happy. As they say in Chinese, they leben wie zwei Teubelach. They're living like two doves. But it is in order that the Kohen should have time to think about it, they do this get mekushar, right? So the point is that here, Yirmiyahu, this deal that he made to buy up property in Yerushalayim was done with both kinds of contracts, right? To make it a real solid deal. Ve'etenet ha-sefer ha-mikneel Baruch ben Neriah. Not only give it to Baruch ben Neriah. Baruch ben Neriah was Yirmiyahu's trusted sofer, and he should hold on to it, right? A third party, an escrow. Ve'et palel el Hashem, and I will daven to Hashem, acharei teti et sefer hamikne, el boruch ben neri lemor. Now that the whole deal is done, so God tells him to do this, he rushes to do it through the whole complicated business procedure of writing the contracts, buying up the land, right? Now he says, I'm going to go talk to God. Va'ata Hashem Elokeinu, hinei ata asita et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. You created heaven and earth. Bekochach ha-gadol uv'zroach ha-natuya, with your great strength, your outstretched hand. Lo yipalem imcha kol davar. Nothing is beyond your capability. Hinei, what's going on here? Ha-solalot bo ha-ir l'lachda. The troops are coming to destroy the city, to capture the city. Va'ir natna biyad ha-kastim ha-nilchamim aleh. And the Babylonians are taking over, the Persians are taking over the city. Va'ata amarta alai, and you tell me, Hashem Elokim, kaneh lecha ha-sadeh bekesef va'aid ve'aidim, and go buy this real estate with witnesses, with contracts. Va'ir natna biyad ha-kastim, and the whole city's being given over to the enemy. Va'id, so what's going on here? Doesn't make sense. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu lemor. And God says to Yirmiyahu, Hinei ani Hashem Elokei kol basar. You're right. I'm the God of all flesh. Hamimeni yipale kol davar. Is anything impossible for me? Sadot bekesev yiknu. Buy the fields. V'katub b'sefer v'chatum. Write a contract. Sign it. V'ha'ed edim. And get witnesses. Be'eretz binyamin u'besviveh Yerushalayim ba'are Yehuda. Ba'arei Ahar, right through Yerushalayim, which is Yehuda, Binyamin, ki ashiv et shvutam ne'um Hashem. But remember, why are you doing this? Because I'm going to return. I am one day going to return the Jewish people to Yerushalayim. I have spoken. This is the Haftorah. Fantastic Haftorah, right? But what do you see from this? Chazinon shemitchila asa Yirmiyah navi et asher nitztaveh. You see a strange thing, that Yirmiyahu went, he didn't ask the question at the beginning. He went immediately and did what he was supposed to do. Liknot ha-sadeh, me'et chanamel, he bought the field. Afal pi she'pa'ula zu ha'ita legamri keneged ha-seichel. The whole thing was insane, it was nuts. V'rak achar kach hitpalel el Hashem. Only afterwards did he communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'yazbir lo et ta'amo shel ha-tzivui ha-tamua. Shava ata kayam. What? And then he went and asked him, "What's going on here?" Ukezena, he says, "Ukezem matzina." There is actually a biblical precedent for this. He says, "Ukezem matzina gamba Avraham avinu, shenitztava al ha'akeda." When Avraham was commanded to sacrifice Yitzchak, v'hiayta legamri keneged ha'secha, was also keneged ha'secha. Right? Avram is told by Hashem, ki bi Yitzchak yikare zara. Through Yitzchak will be the Jewish people. And then he says, right, take, kach et bincha, et yechidcha, et Yitzchak, ve'aleu la'ola. Take your son, your only son Yitzchak, is it, you know, so he won't make a mistake and know what he's talking about, very specifically, and put him on for an ola, right? What's going on here? Right? But he doesn't ask. V'lo sha'al Avraham. V'lo hikshalo. After he was promised, Yitzchak is going to be the beginning of a new era of the Jewish people. V'lo nimna milakayim tzivui Hashem. He didn't. Ela adarab nizdarez lakaimo behekdeim ha'efshari. He got up early in the morning. He saddled his dog. He went quickly. V'rak la'achar shekvar kayem et tzivui Hashem. Only after he fulfilled the commandment. Az hitpalel el Hashem, and Hashem says to him, you know, al tas ma'uma, right? Al tishlach yadcha el anar. So there was the third communication. The first communication was, Yitzchak is going to be the leader of millions of people. The second communication was, go sacrifice Yitzchak as an ola. The third communication was, al tishlach yadcha el anar. Don't touch him, right? Only after that third communication, Az hitpalel al Hashem, she has bilo tamash al tzivu. Then he comes to, as Rashi says, Ayin Rashi, Sof Parshas Vayera, where the whole Akeda takes place, al pasuk, al tishlach yadcha el anar, al taslo ma'uma, don't do anything, don't touch him. Ki ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata, now I know you're a God-fearing person. Incidentally, the Kotzker Rebbe said that it was harder, Avraham Avinu was such a believer in God, such a Yirei Hashem, that the Kotzker said it was harder for Moshe Rabbeinu, for Avraham Avinu to put the knife down than it was for him to take it up.
But he said,
That's why I told him twice, right? Don't twice, right? Don't touch him, right? Shehevi divrei ha-medrash, Rashi brings this medrash. Here's the medrash. Amar le Avraham. Avraham says to God, Afaresh lefanecha tzichati. I want to talk to you. I have something to say to you. Etmol, yesterday, amarta li, you told me, ki bi Yitzchak yikare lecha zera. That through Yitzchak is going to be your whole progeny. V'chazarte v'amarte kachnat bincha. Now you come and tell me today, take your son, your only son, and put him on as an olam. Harisha Avram lo sha'al meid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram didn't ask Hashem lahasbir to explain ha'inyan. Ad la'achar shekfar kayim et atzivu Hashem. Until after he fulfilled the instruction. U'bishat ma'isa haya mukhan la'asot tvar Hashem. But he was ready to go, right? Right, so what's this, what does this teach us? So he writes, Afal pisha haya lefi havanato legamri keneged hazeno. Even though this whole thing made absolutely no sense to him, just, right? So he says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, kachi darkam shel hanaviim. This was the way of prophets. V'kach tzarech lomar darko shel kol Yehudi ma'amin. And this should be the way every believing Jew should conduct his life. Hamakabel alav o malchut shamayim, who accepts upon himself the o malchut shamayim. If you haven't seen it, you must see it. There is a documentary of the Sanz Klausenberger Rebbe, which has gone viral in the non-religious community. If you Google Sanz, S-A-N-Z, Sanz Klausenberg, it'll probably come up. It was done by a... Now, to me, it's close to home. Pardon me?
S-A-N-Z.
It's close to home for me because I live right next to Kiryat Sanz. Right? Last night, Malka went to the bonfire there. There's thousands of people. There's bleachers. It's a sight, a really something very, very unique. In any case, he lost his wife and 11 children in the Holocaust. And started all over again. And he made a neder that if he ever gets out, among the other things he's going to do is he's going to build a hospital, which is what he did. He, instead of moving to Bnei Brak or Yerushalayim, he worked out with the government a piece of land in Netanya, built a Kiryat Sanz, and now today there's Kiryat Sanz is all over the country, but the main Kiryat Sanz is in Netanya, and the centerpiece is the yeshivas and the schools, the from elementary through kollel, and the hospital, Laniato Hospital, which is the hospital for Netanya and the area. And it's interesting that the in Sons, you will not see people walking around doing nothing all day, right? Because in Sons, either you are learning or you are working. You are getting a trade. And in fact, you're not learning anywhere. You have to be registered in a yeshiva where there's accountability. He has a whole system of testing called Mifal Hashas, where students in his yeshivot are tested on a regular basis. So it's a really unique Hasidus. And this I urge you to see this. It's 58 minutes, about an hour long. But you see the power of his emuna and bitachon, and how his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how he rebuilt his life and his family and his chassidus and so on. So this is what Rav Soloveitchik is saying. This should be all of it. V'kach tzarech lomar darkei shel kol Yehudi ma'amin. Hamekabel alav ol malchut shamayim. L'kayim tzivui Hashem afilu b'shah sh'niraim lanu ki'ilu hem legamri keneged haseichel. Even if it doesn't make sense. Right? And then he puts in brackets here, take a look at the comment of Rav Chaim, which is brought in the Sefer of Rav Zevin, Leor HaAlocha. Now, when I went through this piece last week, it's just fascinating. I was going through this piece, and I happened to have on my desk the Sefer of Rav Zevin, right, sitting there, so I couldn't have to be so lazy, right, to get up and look for it. I had it on my desk for another reason, and we're going to see it afterwards. I took out a piece of Rav Zevin on the other side. We'll see it in a minute. We'll come back to it. But he concludes here, he says, what about these two contracts that Urmia did? What's the ethical lesson for us about the two different kinds of contracts? And how does this relate to following what God tells us to do? Ubenevuato nitzaveh Yirmiyahu, in his prophecy, Yirmiyahu was commanded lichtov shnei shtarot, to write two contracts. Gam get pashut v'gam get mukushar, an open document and a closed document. V'ahavdel b'neim, what's the difference between the two of them? Shebepashut kol haktav megulah hu la'ayin. And a regular contract, everybody can see. You can see what's written there, right? V'efshar likaro bekal, you can read it easily. U'beget mekushar, but this folded and sealed document, kol haktav mechusehu, it's all covered up. Shekofli maklaf, you fold it, al gabab, v'tofrin oto haklaf milamata min haktav, and you sew it below the writing. And it's impossible to know what's inside. Ad sheyikare ratfirot, until you tear it open. Ubechayim, and in life. Bein bechay adam haprati, whether it's in the life of the individual. Bein bechay hauma bechlalotel, or whether it's the life, the national life of the Jewish people. Kishirotzim lehistakel ba'atid, when one wants to look into the future. Viladat mayele besof, and no, you know what's going to be tomorrow. Yesh harbe dvarim shepashut lanu lirot merosh. There are things that we can figure out. Valzemer amas sefer hagalui. You know, this is how Professor Alman won the Nobel Prize for Science. His whole theory, his game theory. You can figure out the game theory, what's going to be, right? So there are certain things, you know, like if you have a very important meeting tomorrow, and you sleep in, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a Nobel Prize winner to know that what's going to happen to you when you get to the office 5 hours late. You're in big trouble, right? So there are things that happen in the future you can figure out. Al ha'atidut shehem giluyim lakol, futuristic things that are known to us. V'yesh harbe inyonim, however, there are many things she'yefshar lanu ledam, right? Klal merosh, there are certain things. What's going to be tomorrow? There are things we really don't know. Many things. V'zeo ha-simliot shel ha-sefer ha-chatum. And that is the significance of the seal document. Yirmiyahu was instructed to do both. You know, I'm going to tell you, Yirmiyahu, you're going to get back your Teretz Yisrael, but it's going to be a long haul. Some things you'll know, some things you won't know. You still have to do what I asked you to do. Asher al kein amar lo kodesh baruch li Yirmiya. God said to Yirmiyahu, Hamimeni yipale kol davar, is anything impossible for me to do? Va'asher al kein mechuyavim anu lekayim tzivu Hashem. Ours is to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do. Tragedy strikes. It is not for us to ask why. It is for us to ask how, when, how high should I jump? Va'afilu bo b'sha sheniraim ke'ilu heim legamri keneged ha-seichel, even when it seems impossible. It's totally keneged ha-seichel, makes absolutely no sense. Ki av sheha-seichel ha-anushi yachol lihistakel k'tzat ba'atid. Notwithstanding the fact that human intellect can look a little bit into, can bet a little bit of a peering into the future. Mikol makom, the bottom line is, tamid yesh sefer chatum b'chayim. Life is a closed book. Bein b'chay ha-prat, whether it's our own individual lives, bein b'chay ha-klal, or the general. Ve'ein ha-adam yachol leida be'emet mahu ha-davar ha-sichli. And the bottom line is, we really don't know what's going to be. U'mahu ha-bilti ha-sichli, we have to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and follow the Torah. Right? So now, if you go over the page, number two is from the Sefer L'Or HaLocha from Rav Zevin. Now, who was Rav Zevin? There were three giant Torah giants in Yerushalayim that had no official position, right? No yeshiva, no shul. They were not rabbonim. They were not Rosh Yeshiva, but they were recognized as gedolei Torah. One of them was Rav Menachem Kasher. You might not have even heard of them. Rav Menachem Kasher wrote the Torah Shlema. It's a massive work on Chumash. where he brings midrashim that nobody could find. He unearthed all kinds of Torah that had previously been undiscovered. Amazing, he found ksavim of the Rogachev or Gon. You know, we've talked about the Meshech Chochmah many times, the Or Sameach, Meshech Chochmah, same rabbi. He was a rabbi in Dvinsk, but there was another rabbi in Dvinsk, right? The Rogachev or Gon, he was the rabbi of the Hasidim in Dvinsk. And he had, his stuff was lost during the war. He found stuff, I don't know how, one story is somebody in the Bronx, in an attic, had boxes of the Rogachev's Torah. Another, somebody gets a call from Peoria, Illinois, right? What do they say? What's the expression? Tell it to them in Peoria, right? In Peoria, he went to Peoria, Illinois, and got boxes of ksavim of the Rogachev. So that's Rav Menachem Kasher. Then you have, you probably know, Rav Eliyahu Kitov. Rav Eliyahu Kitov, who wrote the Sefer Todah, the Book of Our Heritage, and Ishu Beito, right, which the Rabbanut used to give out to every couple that got married in Israel, got a copy of Ishu Beito. Ishu Beito is about family life, raising a family, beautiful Sefer. And Sefer Todah is almost like an encyclopedic work of basic Judaism, Sefer, the Book of Our Heritage. So, you know, I have one of my sons showed it to one of my grandsons, and a couple of years ago, so showed, this is a fantastic one. He looked at it, he says, it's very nice. He says, but there's a wealth of stuff like this today, you know? So he says to me, you're missing, this was the first. Until Eliyahu Kitov wrote the Sefer Todah, there was no such thing that the masses of people could open up and really see what Yiddishkeit was all about. And it opened doors for Chilonim, for the general public in Israel, Sefer Todah. Tremendous, the book itself really was an eye-opener for so many secular people. So that, and the third rabbi was Rav Zevin. This is Rav Zevin. And so he has a piece called La'or HaLocha, and this is at the end of an essay on the Akedah, and he asked the question. So first I want to tell you, there's a rule in Talmud, in learning Torah, that if you have Shnei Ktuvim HaMakhishim Zeh, you have two psukim, right? We say this in the morning, in Rabbi Yishmol, right? The 13 principles of how to learn Torah, right? Shnei Ktuvim HaMakhishim Zeh, two psukim who contradict each other. Ubo HaShlish, Kashav HaShlish HiMachriya Benem. A third pasuk will come and answer what the steer is. You have a steer between two psukim, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You got to do pasuk one, you got to do pasuk two, right? But if the third pasuk comes and is machriya, so then you can figure out what to do, right? Okay. So he wants to say, very almost poetically, he quotes something from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who's the grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik here. And the question he asks is, V'lama lo shol Avraham kodem l'chein? Why, by the Akedah, did Avraham wait till after the third communication, right, before he asked God, what's going on here, right? Why didn't he ask him after the second communication, right? First he's told Yitzchak's going to be the beginning of all the Jewish people. Then he's told, go sacrifice him. Why doesn't he ask him then, right? Why doesn't he ask him? B'shash amar lo Hashem kach et Yitzchak. L'kach hikdim Reb Chaim l'saper. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik explained like this. Chassid echad shal oti pam. A chassid once came and asked me a question, said Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Ma ze atem ha-mitnagdim. You mitnagdim, you litvaks in your yeshivas. Mefalpilim tamid bekushit. You're always asking questions, right? You're busy with questions like this and like that. Al mi atem makshim kushyot? Who are you asking questions to? The chassid says. Al kodesh baruch hu? You're asking God. B'torah katuv kach. The Torah you have a pasuk. Sheyeh kach u'mal lechem lakshot. So what are you asking questions for? Torah tells you what to do. Just do it. Oto chassid, says Reb Chaim. Amar Reb Chaim. B'midi you do it, tzedek. On a certain degree, this chassid is right. He's right. But he says we have to set up parameters. When is it okay to ask a question, and when is it not proper to ask a question? V'hagvul mevuar bebraisa derebi Yishma. And the rule is in this rule that we just discussed. Shnei k'tuvim ha-machishim zeh. If you have two contradictory verses in the Torah, got to do both. Ad shiyavo ha-katuv ha-shlishi v'yachriya b'neim. Until you have a third one that comes along and solves the mystery, then it's an open season. Now you can ask all you want, right? Kolzman shalom atzinu katuv shlishi. As long as we don't have that third key, that third pasuk, right? Hamachria ein lanu reshut lahakshot al shnei aksuvim hamachishim etzeh. You can't ask on the other two questions. Once you have the third pasuk, now you can ask anything you want. You see, there is a resolution. So now you can ask, okay, since there's a resolution, why did you even bother with the first question, right? Now you can ask questions, right? Lo asaknu, right? Kan amra Torah kach, v'sham amra Torah acher. Says one, it contradicts. Gzeret ha-kach, v'zorchu g'dara. Aval shematzinu katuv shlishi, when you have that third pasuk, ha-Torah me'atzma mitzava otanu lachkor v'lidrosh. The Torah is telling us, ask. You see, there's a solution. There's a solution to the problem. Ask away. Al shnei aktuvim lachriya, and go back now and try to dissect those two psukim and try to figure out what it was all about that this third pasuk had to come and explain. Kushazuhi gufa Torah. That question. This is Torah. This asking these questions is part of Torah. Now we're allowed to ask the questions. Now, that explains Avraham Avinu. Ulefichach. When Avram heard the two psukim that contradicted each other, right? Yitzchak is going to be your future. Now go take Yitzchak and sacrifice him. Couldn't ask the question. He had two shneik tuvim amachrim. There's no time. You can't ask the question. You have to do both. At mol ki bi Yitzchak yikara lechazera v'hayom kachnat Yitzchak at bincha take your son. Lo sha'al v'lo, he shouldn't ask a question. Et mol haya atzivu ikach v'hayom kach. Yesterday he was commanded to do like X. Today he's commanded to do Y. U'bemufla mimcha al tidrosh. If it's a mystery to you, you can't ask. There's nothing to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. Aval la'achar sheshama katuv shlishi. But once God came along and told him the third thing, hold everything, right? I don't want you to go ahead with this. Havin, he understood, shekan Nitna lo reshut lachkor v'lidrosh ulevarer ha'achra. Now he has permission to ask away and figure out what happened. V'ha'achra nitbarara, and it was told to him, whatever the answer was, asakte achte, means untie him and take him down, right? It's over. It was a test. That's Rav Zevin. That's Rav Zevin's P.S. on this from Reb Chaim. It's a fascinating mitzvah with Reb Chaim. Okay, now, let's take this over to number three. We're going to do number two also. But number three really is on the Parsha, and it kind of relates to this theme of obedience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's unclear why we're doing what we're doing. So, very famous Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. God is about to give over to Moshe Rabbeinu the laws of Shemitah. 7 years that the land is worked, 6 years it's worked, and the seventh year it lies fallow, right? And he tells him this Bahar Sinai, so famous Rashi. Everything is given at Har Sinai, right? Rashi. Hevi divrei haTorah kohanim, he brings from the rabbis, Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. Very famous statement. Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai. What has Shemitah got to do with Har Sinai? Meaning, v'halo kol ha-mitzvot nemru mi-Sinai. All of the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. So why all of a sudden does the Torah say by Shemitah, right, v'aydaber Hashem Har Sinai, you know, ma'inyan Shemitah, why dafke Shemitah etzel Har Sinai, right? You've heard this Rashi before. In fact, let me tell you a little story. I don't know if I told you this in the past. There are many times that expressions from Chazal, from the rabbis, from the Talmud and Midrashim, are used in modern Hebrew. Many expressions. I don't know if you ever heard the expression, someone says, this whole thing doesn't make sense. Lo du beam velo yar. No bears and no forest. Now, where does that come from? Okay, it's a story. Tanakh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I don't want to get... So I once came here on a trip, and I checked into a hotel. It was late at night, 12 o'clock, and I turned on the television, tried to fall asleep, and there was an episode of Kojak on. Does this bring back memories? Yeah. So here you have Stavros is talking to, with his, his lollipop. No, Stavros is his brother. So Kojak is talking to his brother Stavros. Stavros worked for him, was a detective, and Stavros was not too swift on the uptake, right? And he's explaining something, and I'm watching the Hebrew subtitles. Which we all do, right? And he tells him something, and then Stavros answers him, and he says something that had nothing to do with what he was trying to tell him. And Kojak says to him, you know, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? What's the Hebrew subtitle? Ma inyan shmita esel har sina. Right? That was the subtitle. So I'll never forget that. So here, ma inyan shmita esel har sina. But the basic question here is, right, all the mitzvahs were given at Har Sinai. So why dafka shmita, right? Does the Torah say at Har Sinai? Right, medvim shakushi maishna shmita mikol mitzvot Torah lasmich mitzvah shmita lahar Sinai. Umitaretz, and Rashi answers, lelamed haklal shel kol shmita, shel ma shmita, just like by shmita nemru prateha v'diktu keha yachadim klaloteha b'sinai, just like by shmita all the general rules and the particular rules were given at Har Sinai, the oral tradition and the written tradition, av kol mitzvot kein, all mitzvahs, just like shmita. V'akati tzarech bir, but we still haven't answered the question. You could have put any mitzvah there. You could have put Shabbos. You could have said, by Daber Hashem, the mitzvahs of Shabbos, right? Bahar Sinai. And Rashi brings the medrash that says, because ma shmita kol kol seho v'diktu seho. But you could say that by Shabbos also. Everything was given at Har Sinai. But why dafke shmita? How do we answer that it's dafke shmita as opposed to another question, another mitzvah was given at Har Sinai? So he says beautifully, v'hanira b'zeh, d'shaini shmita she'etzem mitzvah mora shenemra b'sinai. We're going to show you that the whole mitzvah of shmita smacks of divine gift from God, something coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has no Shaykhis, that has no relationship to humanity. Vehi Torah min hashemayim. It's clearly Torah from heaven. She'im temtze lomar she'mitzvot ha-Torah heim dvorim she'badu chachomim. Chachmei Yisrael miliba. But you want to suggest that all the mitzvahs, they were made up by the rabbis. Kemo she'to'anim ha-kofri. Which is what the heretics say. The Torah is not divinely inspired, right? The Torah was written by men. Lo haya mitzvah kishmita b'torah. If that would be the case, there would never be a mitzvah like shmita in the Torah. They would have certainly left it out, right? Ki sheko seichel ha'anushi, so let it me'inyan ha'shmita. The human intellect cannot create a mitzvah like shmita. You'll tell me, va'af kishetim tzolomar, you'll say, wait a minute. Shesade boreh, hu davar bari. Leaving a field fallow? That makes sense. That's good agriculture. V'goremet l'tzmicha b'yeter se'et l'shana ba. You leave a field fallow, it allows for the field a year later to be stronger. But wait a minute. That's not what Shemitah is saying. Mikol makom. Lo hayu gozrim shekol hasadot v'hakramim kulam yishpetu b'shana achad kulam b'yachad. But to rule that every single field and every single vineyard should lie fallow for the year, gizeh aluli grom rav ba'aretz, is going to create a famine, umishbar kilkali, starvation, ubifrat, so stagger it. You want to say that it's good to stagger your fields. one year, this field is fallow, and plant this field the next year, this one is plowed, and this one is staggered. That makes sense. But who is going to invent such a ridiculous thing? And more so, more to the point, he says, on the 50th year, you have the 49th, which is a Shemitah year, and the 50th year, you have 2 years where you don't work no land. B'Shemitah HaShvi'it, on the 7th Shemitah, the 49th year, HaRitzufa U'Smucha L'Shnat HaYovel, which is attached to Yovel. Doesn't make sense. U'Mishum Hachi Nakta HaTorah Shemitah Mibein Kol Taryaga Mitzvot. Therefore, the Torah chooses wisely the only mitzvah that is said Behar Sinai, in order to teach us that just like Shemitah was given at Har Sinai with all of its generalities and its specifics, so too all the other mitzvahs. But Dafka Shemitah, ki mitzvah Shemitah yesh la hagushpanka. The gushpanka means it has the seal, you know, the good housekeeping seal of approval. It has the stamp of Har Sinai shel Har Sinai. It's purely divine. V'hakol modim, everybody admits shezui davar elokim min hashamayim. Clearly has to come from God. Ki mitzvah kizot, lo yibadeh haseichel anushim milibo. No human being would think up such a mitzvah, the way it's structured. Uma shmita nemra b'sinai, b'chlaloteo prateha, v'diktukeha, av kol mitzvah ke. That's why shmita was chosen. So that's a beautiful explanation. Okay, the last piece is also from Rav Schwab, and it's a classic. You know, we have suffered historically because through the fact that there's a mitzvah of lending money, and you're not allowed to lend money on interest, but that only applies to a Jew. It doesn't apply to a non-Jew. So therefore, that's how the Rothschilds came into being. That's how banking became a Jewish business. That's how Shakespeare wrote Shylock, right? So, but we suffered from this. We suffered from this. So how do we explain it? So Rav Schwab writes, in this week's Parsha, you have v'kiyamuch achicha, if your brother waxes poor, v'chei imach, and he lives with you, you give him money, I'll lend him money, al tikach mi'ito neshech v'tarbit. Do not take from him, your brother, interest. V'yireita me'elokecha, fear God, v'chai achicha imach, and your brother should live with you. Now, two times it calls him your brother. V'halo davarhu. There's something to that, and Rav Schwab is going to talk about it. Tzrichim la'avin, we have to understand, first of all, what's wrong with taking interest? That's his first question. Hari isur ribit. Ribit is interest. Eino sikhli, it doesn't make sense. Damai havi kol agar natar osur. Umayshna misharin yane schirut. Why is it different? You know, you rent a car. You lend somebody your car. Sheimutar li lidboa mamon miadam al hazman. Sheishtamesh b'shori, right? Lama ye'asar litvoa mimenu schirut. Well, if I can pay a guy for taking, he borrows my cow, right? I borrow his cow, I give him money, right? I can rent it, I can rent a cow. I rent a car, you pay money. So why not for money? I'm taking money from you. Why can't I pay you for the money that I'm using? What's the difference, right? So he says, "Ya'asar litvoa mimenu schirut al hazman sheishtamesh bekaspo." You rent a cow, you rent a car, you pay money. V'chein matzinu she'af lamandomer gezel akum oser. According to the opinion that you're not allowed to steal from a non-Jew, mikol mokam lekuli al mamutu litol ribis mi'akum v'dvar matikim. Old story. We are allowed to take interest from a non-Jew, so it's not a terrible thing taking interest from it. Right, and again, we survived many cultures by being moneylenders, by being bankers, right? So why can't I lend money to you on interest? You want to borrow money from me? You know, okay, great, I'll give you $1,000, but pay me $100 for the business transaction, right? This is beautifully. V'efshila hazbir. Shagam, so let me ask you a question. If somebody's mother would come to them and say, could you lend me $10,000? Sure, Ma, lend you $10,000, but 20% interest, right? Would you think of lending money to your mother on interest? Obviously not. Obviously not. And that's what he's saying. And that's why achicha is mentioned twice here. It doesn't just say, don't take neshech from a Yisrael. We're family. We're family. Family doesn't do that thing. And that this really could explain to the non-Jewish world why we take interest from them. Because why shouldn't I take interest from you? Is there anything wrong with taking interest? If I had a car rental, you'd pay me right extra, right? So I'm giving you money. Why do you question my Torah that it says I can take money, right? I, for my mother, for the Jews, that's family. You know, for family, we have a different set of code of rules. For family, we don't charge interest for family. And every Jew is part of, Klal Yisrael is part of our family. That's why the Torah says achicha twice when it comes to the laws of interest. Efshar lasbir shagam sheribis eino avla bitchum olam ha-meschar. It's true that in the world of business, there's nothing wrong with interest. It's commonplace, right? In fact, we have to be always have to be diligent to avoid it, right? If you pay on tashlumin, right? Certain credit cards, right? After three payments, I think there's interest in most tashlumin. You have to be very careful in some of the tashlumin, right? Aval b'misgeret ha-mishpacha, when it comes to family, ein la makom, there's no place for interest. V'lo notlim ribit me'ach, you don't take ribit from a ba'ach, in parentheses he puts. And then twice, umilve ribit sotrim ha'achva. Lending on interest contradicts the achva, the brotherhood shall klal Yisrael, of klal Yisrael. Ki ein ze matim, just not nice. It's not nice. Li'aches ha'achim lidvoa ribis al ha'alva. Ulechein hidgish ha'katuv ha'achva bekan. V'chi yamuch achicha v'chei achicha imach. Twice, there's an emphasis on achicha. Because that's the problem. With family, we don't charge interest. Different set of rules. Beautiful idea. Okay.
There's also that thing.